knowledge representation of unstructured data. I mentioned previously that the way a patient's disease, for example, is coded into the medical record is by a human. A human looks through the doctor's note, patient has diabetes mellitus, and assigns the appropriate ICD-9 code, and or the provider actually enters the code him or herself. But what often happens is that neither enters the correct code, and it's well known that providers either enter the no code when there should be a code, or they enter the slightly incorrect code, or maybe even very incorrect code. And as I also mentioned, the coding is often for billing, so if a patient has several conditions for which the system is not being billed, some chronic condition which doesn't require any immediate care, it would be nice to have codes for those illnesses as well. So we're going to talk about how coding can be automated from analyzing the medical record. Let's take our imaginary machine again and look at the patients with diabetes mellitus. We, as mentioned, we can have a human do it, but could a machine look at the patient's note? In the note, the doctor may have written, patient has diabetes mellitus. Could a machine look at that, those words, and figure out that the patient has diabetes mellitus, and then assign the 249 code? There are such methods. They're quite sophisticated, incredibly powerful tools under the general category of natural language processing. A simple example of this is how Google figures out that you've misspelled something. There are very sophisticated algorithms which involve all sorts of strategies such as word matching, parts of speech, the syntax of statistics, what words are in the neighborhood. All these strategies are used to help disambiguate, to figure out from a potentially ambiguous set of symbols, if you will, what is going on with the patient. So let's look at our diabetes mellitus example. A machine could be programmed to look for, literally, the letters diabetes mellitus. And if in a note the doctor wrote diabetes mellitus, it would be very easy for the NLP tool to figure out that the patient has diabetes mellitus. And then it could be programmed to assign the code of 249. Now, what happens when it's ambiguous? The word diabetes could be by itself. For example, the physician might say the patient has diabetes and is being treated, etc., etc. Well, unfortunately, there are two kinds of diabetes. There's diabetes mellitus, which is the far more common and one that we've been discussing today, but there's also diabetes insipidus, which has really nothing to do with diabetes mellitus. So the computer would not be able to know if the patient had diabetes mellitus or diabetes insipidus, and there'd have to be some human intervention by changing the program, if you will, to disambiguate. It could be far more complicated than diabetes alone. It could be DM2. What if the physician who's very busy wrote DM2 or diabet, which is not uncommon either? So it's not an insurmountable task, but you can see that it would require some sophisticated programming for the machine to be able to recognize diabetes mellitus, diabetes misspelled, D/M, DM2, all these different ways of categorizing diabetes mellitus. But yes, that's the challenge, and that is, in fact, how computer scientists in biomedical informatics have approached this, that we just slog through and we can train the machine automatically, which we may discuss later on in the course, to develop a library, if you will, of terms and abbreviations that represent diabetes. But at the end of the day, the point here is a simple one, that using sophisticated computer science methods, a machine could theoretically, and in fact does, in certain circumstance, figure out that the patient has diabetes mellitus and then assigns the correct code. What is important, I think, about the approach of natural language processing is that it can help us look for facts about a patient that are not likely to be coded. I mentioned chronic diseases and syndromes are often not coded because there's no billing for them, and there are no ICD-9 codes assigned to these chronic diseases or syndromes. How about symptoms? A patient comes into the doctor and says, I have some muscle aches, I have some muscle pains. It's very possible that the patient is going to discuss this, but it will not be coded as an ICD-9 code because there was no definitive diagnosis made, there was no definitive treatment. Elements of the past medical history, very important to the patient record, again, not likely to have a code. Family history, the same. A natural language processing tool can read through the medical record and find all these important pieces of information about a patient, which would more than likely not be coded. One question you might ask is, how does the tool figure out what those conditions are, and how does it give it a name if it sees various signs and symptoms, myopathy, myalgia? Can we use a translation table? Can the machine read through the note and actually pick out concepts and then assign a code? And the answer, of course, is yes, thanks to the UMLS, which we've discussed previously. It's a huge table that has all sorts of important relationships and can be consulted in order to help translate findings from an unstructured text. For example, we could look at the table and find synonyms of various conditions. We could get specific codes for some of the signs and symptoms. Let's look at a specific example to make this a little more understandable. Let's take the patient with diabetes mellitus for whom we want to assign an ICD-9 code. Can we use the UMLS to translate that? And the answer is yes. The machine reads through the note. Patient is a 65-year-old man with diabetes mellitus who is treated with metformin, diet, etc. And the word diabetes mellitus is recognized by the NLP machine and goes to the UMLS table and finds that diabetes in the UMLS has a specific QE, which we discussed previously, which is C0011489, and we can drill down into the UMLS tables and find that that QE can be associated, matched to an ICD-9 code of, in this case, 250, which is the general QE for diabetes mellitus. And if we look at the output from the UMLS, we looked briefly at this before, we see that there are all sorts of interesting pieces of information in the output. We type in diabetes mellitus and we get a list of useful information. For example, at the top, we see the listing for the ICD-9 code of 250. This is having typed in diabetes mellitus. And we even see the SNOMED code down below. We discussed that briefly. So we can use the UMLS to translate. This is the tool, the goal that I mentioned previously. You read through the note, you want to say, I see diabetes mellitus, now what do I do with it? I need an ICD-9 code, let's go to the UMLS. But as mentioned in the prior example, what if the doctor has only said diabetes? This is a 65-year-old man with diabetes, who we know overwhelmingly has diabetes mellitus, especially because of the treatment with metformin, but the computer has to be told this. The computer is not going to be able to figure this out because it cannot map to a unique UMLS term, because in the UMLS, if one puts in diabetes, the engine which searches the OMLS, figures out that it's actually ambiguous. It could be diabetes, plain diabetes. You can see at the bottom of the list, diabetes QE0011847. Or various other kinds of diabetes mellitus. And the point is that the OMLS is stumped at this point. It really doesn't know what diabetes we're talking about. And the point is that it can't map at that point. A human intervention is going to have to take place in the form of programming. We can see here also that if a man, if the patient is labeled as having DM, which, again, anybody on metformin is overwhelmingly likely to have diabetes mellitus, the translation of that in the OMLS is extremely ambiguous and really unresolvable. The NLP engine extracts diabetes DM, and it cannot map it to a unique UMLS code. You see here all the different terms that the UMLS thinks is representing DM. Diabetes mellitus, of course, is one of them, but dexamethasone, a demographics domain, double minutes, myotonic dystrophy. It's really hopeless at this point. And so the OMLS has its strengths, which we've discussed, but it also has its weaknesses. And this is a perfect example that the OMLS cannot resolve DM. It's going to have to take a human intervention to resolve that. And this just gives me an opportunity to reiterate that the OMLS is not a terminology. Unfortunately, it has examples of polysemy, which means that one term has two or more meanings. Diabetes could mean diabetes mellitus or diabetes insipidus. So diabetes is an ambiguous, unresolvable term. DM has many different meanings, as we've just seen. It also has synonymy, where one concept is associated with two or more terms. We've got diabetes mellitus. We've also got non-insulin-dependent diabetes mellitus. We have all sorts of other ways of referring to the same concept, diabetes mellitus. And not to worry, though, sophisticated methods are required to resolve these issues. We have many, many superb, brilliant computer scientists working on this, but it is built brick by brick. I mean, something as common as diabetes mellitus, quite interesting to me, common as diabetes mellitus is a very important disease, epidemic of it, and there are so many different ways of saying diabetes mellitus that it can really stump the computer programs, and that's one of a main goal of many computer scientists is to figure out how to automatically resolve this. So this ends part three of our talk, and we will proceed to part four, which is the representation of higher